The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
My next guest will be no stranger to you. I'm delighted that she's sitting here. It's a long time since I've seen her. Familiar face to many, best known for her time on TV3's Exposé, as it was called back in the day. Mm-hmm. Beyond the screen, she's made a tremendous impact, raising over €1 million for charities across Ireland. It's time for In Conversation With, and this week I'm thrilled to welcome Lorraine Keane.
Ah, thank you. So lovely to be here.
Yeah. When you think back to your Exposé days, is it nice, warm, cozy feelings? Or is it, I can't believe I did that?
No, really nice, warm, cozy feelings. It was an incredible time.
Yeah, tough job, though.
Really tough job, but not afraid of a bit of work. And when you love what you do, and I'm passionate about the work that I do, so I know I'm very, very lucky. And I was in TV3 for 12 years. So for the 10 years before that, I was entertainment correspondent. So I did all of the entertainment stuff on my own. So to then suddenly have a team of amazing women, you know, equally hardworking, who wanted this incredible monster that we had that was, you know, 5 days a week, live at prime time to work. It was just lovely. It was just a lovely family of people.
Self-sufficient family as well. You had to do everything yourselves, didn't you?
Oh, we did. Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny. It's only since I left Dermot that I realise that I'm grateful for the skill set, because now, you know, I can produce, direct, edit, obviously research and present. So, yeah, it's kind of all singing, all dancing. At the time, it was really difficult because, you know, as you said, you had to do everything. And for me, the reason I decided to leave after 2 years, and it was my dream job, it's the show that I'd wanted for all the years that I was there and I was knocking on the door. I knew there was an appetite for entertainment and fashion and that kind of show in Ireland for a long time. Finally got it. But actually, there was just so much work involved that I was spending more time with my TV3 family than I was with my actual real life family.
Yeah.
That I struggled to have. And I just thought, you know, something's got to give. So I took a little break, and and it was a hard decision to make. You did the same thing yourself just a year ago. You know, it's hard to walk away from your work family and a job that you love. But I just felt I was burning out and I was starting to fake it. And that's not good.
Yeah. And how would that manifest for you when you say burnout and, you know, starting to fake it? What what kinds of things would you experience?
I was just I wasn't myself. I wasn't happy. You know, I was being happy when I was in there and I enjoyed the job, as I said. So I would interview very interesting people, and even hosting the show was great fun. But I was just tired. I was really, really tired. And yeah, I just felt that if I didn't listen to my body and my own kind of mental health, that something was going to give. And I didn't want it to be my own health or my relationships, you know, my marriage, and my own little family. And, you know, I always wanted children. That was always going to be something, whether I could have them myself or adopt or whatever, they were always going to be in my future. And I was very lucky to have two healthy babies, and I didn't have them for somebody else to rear them. Like, there were nights where I would, or days where I would maybe only see the girls for half an hour in the morning and then not see them for, you know, 2 or 3 days because I'd be working after the show covering an event or something like that, you know.
Well, that has to take its toll. I mean, we're just talking about loneliness there and the importance of connections. And if you feel the connection to the people who are most important to you is suffering, it's very hard to keep that, you know, 20 something fire in your belly going.
Yes.
Because you have other callings and you have other priorities and other values.
Yeah. It's so true. And I remember begging TV3 to cover the Oscars in our first year because I just thought we have to be at the Oscars. And of course, we had no accreditation because we were a small show in a small country that nobody really knew about, the show, that is. So they finally listened to me, and I kind of blagged my way into all sorts of places. But I remember being over there and staying in this lovely hotel and interviewing amazing people, you know, interviewing Glenn Hansard in the Hollywood Walk of Fame, the two of us having a chat walking down and getting access to all sorts of things, and crying myself to sleep every night. Like, it was just
because you missed.
I missed the girls. I was also super tired because I was doing so much work for Exposé. They also then said, well, if you're going to go over and we're going to, you know, spend all this money, we have to do a special as well. So there was the added pressure of a full hour special with the stuff that we didn't use. And then Ireland AM wanted me to go live every morning. So the time difference. So I wasn't getting any sleep.
Yeah.
I was missing the girls. And that's when I kind of thought, gosh, this is not the dream job that everybody thinks it is, you know?
I guess the blessing in disguise, and it's something I guess I've experienced, as you say, in the last year, because it's actually a year today that I had my last show with my work wife, Dave, you know, on Today FM, on the Dermot and Dave show. And those kinds of decisions and those kinds of, I call it the civil war between your head and your gut.
Right, yeah.
And those kinds of things are very uncomfortable, but they force you to think about things that maybe you've avoided for a long time. Like, what are my values? What are important to me? You know, what are the things that are important to me?
Yeah.
What are my non-negotiables?
Yes.
You know, how much risk am I willing to bring into my life to spend more time with the people that really matter? So all those things, you're forced to maybe focus your lens a little bit more and step out of that automatic work way of thinking.
Yeah, and my daughters, their age group, their generation are great. They have this thing, it's one life, mom, you know.
Mm.
And so, and that's probably the way I always lived or knew that's the way I wanted to be. And I thought, like lots of people were saying to me, all my colleagues and contemporaries were saying, are you mad? You know, we're about to go into a recession and you're about to leave, you know. And I was staff, so I wasn't contracting TV3. And I just thought to myself, do you know what? I've never been afraid of taking risks. You know, I would rather take a risk and fail than regret not trying.
Mm.
And I've always been like that. And I thought, it's only a job. I'll have other jobs. I'm a worker, you know, I'm a grafter. Louis Walsh always called me a grafter. I took it as a huge compliment.
But we're wired for security.
Yes.
You know, that's our kind of baseline, is that you look after the basics. You know, you want a few quid in the bank, food on the table.
Yeah.
OK, now you can try and entertain yourself. But once you start, I see them as those kind of Jenga blocks, you know, that you don't realize how important they are till you start sliding those babies out, you know. But look, when you did all that, obviously you got to spend more time with your kids.
Yeah.
You refocused. I mean, you're still very much connected to the media world.
Yes.
But I guess you also, in my last chat with Dr. Mark Rowe, we touched on being in service to others. And that's something that you have definitely naturally stepped into and made a home in.
Yeah.
And provided huge benefits for charities across the country. How did that come about, and how did you find yourself moving into that space?
Well, to be perfectly honest, I think it's a real privilege for people like us to have a profile and have a voice, and you know, somewhere that you can use it, and for good things, you know, because I do feel very, very lucky and very blessed to be still working in the industry that I love. So I decided to use it in a good way. I'd always helped out charities when I could, brand ambassador for a number of charities, and went as a volunteer with a number of NGOs over kind of the 10 years after I'd left full-time employment as a volunteer to various parts of the developing world. And I came back after one of those trips and I just thought, it's great to be able to be that person and to talk about the amazing work that these NGOs are doing and all of their projects and everything. And they would see, definitely a rise in their fundraising around that time, where I would be having conversations like this.
Because sometimes it's not an easy place to be sometimes for someone with a profile, because you feel a natural urge, as you say, you know, look, I'm gifted, I'm blessed with this profile. I'd like to put it to, you know, some other use other than self-promotion, you know, and give something back and be in service. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, there's a perception of, oh, here we go again, another bloody celebrity rabbiting on about something, and sure, they're probably getting paid for it and this, that and the other.
You can't please those people.
No, you can't,
I guess. You can't, Dermot. And I never really thought about, you know, begrudgery or any of that kind of, you know, nonsense, bad, mean talk, because it would just stop you doing so much, you know. So I'm just myself. I'm just me. I just do what I want to do. And I knew that I was doing it for the right reasons. And I know there are people that think that, but I saw the increase in funding, fundraising at the time. So I knew that it was. So I came back from one of those trips and decided I'm going to do my own.
Well, talk to us about your charity. You know, the charities that are important to you and what you're working on. And have space and time to talk about them, and hopefully we'll see another bump. So
great.
What
Fashion
is important
Relief
to you?
Is my charity initiative. And as you said, we've raised over €1 million in the last 6 years. And the charities that I work with have been, you know, Crumlin Children's Hospital, the ISPCA. I work with Breast Cancer Ireland. Fashion Reef is actually raising funds for Breast Cancer Ireland at the moment. And in fact, we just changed charities to Breast Cancer Ireland almost a year ago, 10 and a half months ago. And we're already over €250,000 raised for the charity. So, and what it is, is Peter, my husband, had said to me, if you're going to do this, at least do whatever the idea is, something in an area that you love, because I know you're going to end up putting much more time into it than you say you're going to. And fashion is a passion of mine. I love fashion. That's just one of those things that makes me happy. So I decided 6 years ago to donate a massive chunk of my own wardrobe to raise money for charity. And when I decided to do that, lots of people in the industry approached me. I approached them and they all said, oh my goodness, yeah, we'll give you some piece of our wardrobe.
Please come and declutter my house.
Yeah, because we all have too much and I'm so lucky in the job that I'm in that I've been able to gather up an amazing amount of lovely things over the years. Some were gifted, some I got at discount, some I bought myself, but lovely, lovely things. And I just thought, you know what, I could hold on to these things because maybe my daughters will want them. But then why would I do that when actually you could sell it now and raise money for people that need it right now?
Is it a physical shop? Is it online?
How
does it work? Events, right.
Yeah, so we did events first in the RDS and all of the people that worked on those events volunteered their time, talent, skill, service. So, you know, fabulous companies that I'd never met before did the staging, you know, CT Ireland, and we'd cater hire giving us all the rails and the tables and the whatever. And we'd all of these wonderful companies coming together that just wanted to help, because I said to them, I promise you, I will talk about you at every opportunity I get to give back, because they were doing this for me. So every single cent that we raised at that event went to the charity. And then obviously COVID happened. I got in contact with an Irish tech company. Bobby Kerr actually had Claire McHugh on the show yesterday from Axonista. They were a small tech company and they made this incredible piece of technology during lockdown, which meant that I could still continue to sell the pre-loved or brand new pieces that women donated from their own wardrobes online with Fashion Relief TV. And again, we were raising money all through lockdown because of Axonista saying, yes, we'll do that for you, you know.
Isn't that a real sweet spot when you can blend your worlds?
Oh,
you know,
unbelievable.
And I'm sure when you stepped away from TV and that whole hectic world, you thought, oh, I'm leaving a big part of myself behind. But you found a way of bringing those passions for fashion and entertainment and media.
And people, being around people.
Yeah.
That's the thing I found probably the loneliest is it was when I didn't have people, because I ended up writing a book. I then ended up doing, say, all the charity stuff. I need to be around people. I love the company of people. And I'm not great working on my own. But just to say, Fashion Relief is now a fabulous boutique in the Frascati Centre in Dublin, in Blackrock.
Amazing.
And we don't buy stock Dermot, so we rely on women donating pieces from their own wardrobes and obviously then shopping. And it's guilt-free shopping because it's sustainable. You're saving people and planet.
Yeah.
You know, we're diverting stuff from landfill at the same time. And the pieces that we don't sell in the shop, because we're very fussy, it's everything from Zara to Prada and everything in between, once it's in really good condition. And if stuff comes in that's a little bit too worn, then we give it to a recycling company. They weigh it.
You get people giving you like rags thinking,
we do
I'm
get
great.
Some stuff where they, you know, just want to get rid of.
Yeah.
But what we do is we give it to the recycling company, they weigh it, and all of that money goes to the Laura Lynn Hospice. So there's absolutely nothing wasted.
Yeah. Talk to us about women's health, because I know that is an area that you've been in for many years. Yeah. And I guess in recent years, there's been an extra focus on things like menopause. But I know that you were very vocal on that kind of thing before, because you've had your own journey through,
exactly,
you know,
perimenopause and now menopause. Yeah. And that was a really tough one. That was another thing that my contemporaries were saying, are you mad? Why would you talk about this? Like, this is so aging, you know, in our industry. It tends to be a little bit ageist, particularly towards women. So, and I thought, you know what? I'd suffered in silence for so long with, you know, imbalanced hormones, not knowing that it was just another natural life stage, perimenopause.
Who helped you? Who steered you in the right direction?
I was at a talk and I was asked to speak, actually, and I was on a panel, and there was an endocrinologist on the panel, Dr. Mary Ryan, and she started talking about hormone health. and perimenopause and menopause. And I remember sitting there going, oh, good Jesus, that's me. You know, I could tick all of those boxes, all the symptoms she was talking about.
Yeah.
And then decided that I wanted to go out and do a tour with a panel of experts. And not just, I choose to go down the natural health supplement route with Menamin. That's what I use. And it's always worked for me because it's scientifically proven. Brilliant. But other women want to go down the medical route. So we on the panel, we had an endocrinologist. On the panel, we had somebody talking well-being. So lifestyle changes, diet, nutrition. So we weren't, I didn't want to go around the country just saying, well, you have to go the natural way. No, you don't. You try the natural first, I would say, and know that there are many options out there.
What worked for you?
So for me, it's Menamin, Clean Marine, supplement, and lifestyle changes. And they're free, Dermot.
What kind of lifestyle changes? It's a kind of a really catch-all important thing, isn't it?
But yeah,
it's really important. Alcohol, food,
so
dairy?
It's nutrition. So again, we need to make sure that we're eating the right foods and the right kind of diet. I'm pretty good Monday to Thursday, and at the weekend all bets are off. Like, you have to live.
Yeah, you know, you can't be a monk or a nun.
I want to actually enjoy myself too. So and I love healthy food now because of knowing what I should eat, and I feel so much better when I do exercise. After 40, we're exercising too much. That's a lovely thing to hear as a woman. Because our metabolism slows down, we start pounding the pavements and spinning classes and doing all the aerobic stuff to burn calories. Actually, we need to slow down. Because if we overstretch and over kind of pressurize that pituitary gland, then that sends the hormones out all over the place and your symptoms are just compounded, so they get worse. So actually we need to do resistance training for our current and future bone health and muscle mass and bone density.
Yeah.
So, you know, weight resistance training, Pilates. And then the well-being thing, take time for yourself. Go for a walk. Do things that make you happy. You know, get a massage.
Rest is okay.
I throw myself into the freezing cold Irish Sea.
Yeah.
Works for me.
Absolutely. Whatever works for you. You've got an event coming up soon, do you? Is there a charity animal welfare event?
Yes, the ISPCA, a fabulous charity. And that's in Bettystown, Laytown Golf Course. The golf links there, beautiful. They're doing a fundraiser. And then I also have a couple of events coming up, pop-ups for fascia relief.
Where's the best place people can find your
on
info?
On my Instagram, Lorraine Keane Official.
Thank you so much for chatting to us.
Thank you.
Absolute pleasure.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.